Welcome to Continued Success, a beautiful midweek departure from our typical publishing time. And honestly, it's the middle of summer. It's chaos. It's just it's chaos out there, you know. So let's just all enjoy that this is happening now. It's going to be a discussion. I was going to say it's going to be fun, but given what's going on with the Phillies right now, don't really know if that's going to be true. Anyways, I'm Justin Clue. You can follow me on Twitter at Justin_Clue. With me is Liz Rocher of Yahoo Sports. You can follow her at Liz Rocher. Liz, the Phillies, the team we typically talk about on this show, you know, things are ambiguous, I guess, is the kindest way to put it at the moment with the loss of Bryce Harper. News that we're going to lose him for 6 weeks. Get him back in August. I believe late August is the forecast currently. We talked recently in our we finished up a movie review last night. We talked about the movie The Rookie with Dennis Quaid, which is available on the Hit and Season Patreon for $5 a month. You get access to that. They had a lot of fun talking about that movie and the kind of movie that is. And at the end of that discussion, we kind of hit briefly on this topic, which is without the Phillies, what is Bryce Harper? Without Bryce Harper, what are the Phillies supposed to do, and how little we really accepted the situation that the Phillies were without the superstar on their offense, who has piloted that offense for so much this year. How's your acceptance coming along at this point? Yeah, we've had a night to sleep on it. Are you any further along with this news that he'll be back in late August?
No. I still mostly refusing to process it. I mean, what else am I it's hard. I hate it. I mean, this is usually the Phillies beat themselves, and I know how to react to that. That's easy. But this fate intervening in all of our lives in this way is different, because the Phillies were doing everything they needed to do, and now Bryce Harper won't be back for 2 months, and I have a hard time feeling like they're going to be able to continue this pace without their best hitter, their best overall player, who was putting up MVP numbers for the second year in a row
as a DH with a
screwed up UCL. Like, that was a great story. That was a Phillies team that we had all spent a long time waiting for, and now it feels like we're back in the bad place again.
But that's the I really don't feel like we're in the bad place yet. Part of that's just because they won their first game without Bryce Harper, and then they had an off day, so it wasn't like you had time to really dwell on how bad the team could look, because they weren't as bad as you are predicting them to look without Bryce Harper yet in the one game they've had in the post Bryce Harper injury time period. But I was thinking, you know, maybe this isn't denial that, like, oh, this has happened and we're refusing to accept it. Maybe it's not that. Maybe it is the product of the team changing, not just in its roster, but in its, you know, its core since Girardi was fired. Because, like I said, I still feel okay. Perhaps tonight, if they really need like a 3-run home run and they don't get it, you know, then you start to feel the absence of Bryce Harper from your lineup. But it's definitely partially because they didn't lose that fourth game against the Padres. But I'll feel less okay once we talk about the next series the Phillies still have to play against the Braves. But I'm just saying, inside, I feel like this team really changed in all the intangible ways that we were talking about them changing. And maybe that's why, you know, they're still kind of, you know, they don't feel like they're dead in the water without Bryce Harper. They're not supposed to be dead in the water without Bryce Harper. There's other hitters on this team, some of which you're still waiting to see better performances from. So we'll see what happens. I think a big question now is, who is the Phillies all-star? Which, you know, Bryce Harper was leading that, but who is it now?
I mean, I think Harper will still be named to the All-Star game. He just won't go.
I guess it is only like 2 weeks away. That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll say this would be a really great time for Nick Castellanos to get his ass in shape.
Exactly.
This would be the perfect time for him to remember how to hit a baseball more consistently.
He had a 4-hit day in their last game. Something to remember. Real Muto.
I'm saying consistently. Let's see more of that.
Sure. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying that's a good start. the first game without Bryce Harper, Nick Castellanos has a four-hit day. That's exactly what you want to see.
Yay.
You want to see JT Realmuto hitting the ball a little more. You want to see guys like Matt Vierling finding crucial ways to contribute. But I think as this conversation is going to go, there might be other options available for how this team can still succeed without Bryce Harper. I will say it does feel serendipitous that the Phillies are going to be without Bryce Harper when they go to Toronto. I'm not looking forward to the discourse surrounding the team when they go up to Canada and we find out once again exactly how many of them are not pleased about the vaccination situation. But hey,
let's note that Bryce Harper is escaping that.
That's what I mean. Serendipitous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sorry. He is escaping that. He also managed to go on the IL right as the Phillies are having their Pride night.
They reached the point of like back when there was, oh, a certain percentage of your roster has to be vaccinated for you to have the like full scale of major league protocol or whatever. Like,
no,
didn't they never did.
I thought they eventually did,
but they didn't.
Maybe they did and I missed it. But from what I remember, they didn't reach that all season. I could be wrong. I could be wrong, but that's what I remember. And yeah, because I think the Phillies were always on the list of the least vaccinated teams in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, exactly. So that'll be fun with that, that hornet's nest getting all buzzing buzzy again. Mm. Yippee! But yeah, let's just talk real quick. You can't really, the conversation becomes now, what do the Phillies do? And I see occasionally that phrase, what can they do to replace Bryce Harper? And the answer is you can't replace Bryce Harper. That's the first thing you got to accept here is that's just a hole. And you can throw stuff in there and it gets a little less gaping, but it's just going to be there. That's kind of the problem. This team's odds of winning the World Series, according to Jay Jaffe on Fangraphs, dropped by about 30% when Bryce Harper left the lineup.
Feels right.
It's going to have to get better at something else, you could say. Over the last week, it kind of has. Jaffe wrote that on Fangraphs that the Phillies' turnaround in the past month has as much to do with run prevention as it has with run generation. Now, that may sound optimistic. The end of that story did kind of conclude, what do the Phillies do without Bryce Harper? Just be worse, really. That's what's probably going to happen. But to his point, the Phillies bullpen, you know, I rattled this off to Chris yesterday and absolutely hammered, so I'll just blast through it here again. But in the last week, Phillies relievers have pitched 18 and a third innings. And in that span, they have accrued a 1.96 ERA. That was the best in the National League in that span. Just a week, but, you know, the most recent week. So, again, that's perhaps something to build off of.
Yes.
They don't go to their bullpen as much because their starters have been so, I'll say effective. You know, not every start has been effective. They have lost six whole games in June, and they've obviously given up some runs, and Kyle Gibson has struggled at times. Ranger Suarez has given up a couple of meatballs. Zach Wheeler's gotten bumped around on occasion. You know, they're not bulletproof, but this rotation has been very strong. It has been a strong point for this roster. It's kept them in games and allowed the offense to do its thing when it's had good nights. It's also kept them in games where the offense wasn't powering through the opposing team. But because of that, they don't have to go to the bullpen as much, which is good for the bullpen. You know, keep them rested, but, you know, they still get enough work to be effective. They are only one of four teams in the league to have their bullpen throw 17 innings or less in the last week. They aren't striking out a lot of hitters. They are getting outs. They have only allowed two walks and five hits in that 18 and a third inning span. They've also allowed only four runs. That is easily the lowest in all those categories. As I said to Chris, the Nationals bullpen has the second fewest hits allowed in that same week. They have 14. The Phillies have five. Like, that's a lot.
Oh.
Culminating in their longer relief performance against the Padres in game four of that game that they won, the bullpen, especially Nick Nelson, kept them in that game, gave them a chance to come back, and they came back. You know, Kyle Schwarber hit that three-run home run that was crucial and gave them the lead. They were able to add on a little more as well and win that game. So that's that's how it could work moving forward. But the trouble is there is no A to B answer here. And that's going to make it tough to convince anyone that whatever answers they settle on are satisfactory. And the odds that they will be are objectively small anyway, but not implausible. The Phillies will get Harper back, unlike the commonly referenced Braves with Ronald Acuna Jr. last year. They will get Gene Segura back. They have horses that are still stuck behind the gate offensively, who have shown signs of breaking loose, like we were just talking about. Castellanos, Real Muto, even Vierling. They've got a solid rotation that's doing its part, and if they can get a good few weeks from the bullpen, that could be enough momentum. I mean, am I doing anything for you here as far as your mood?
Yes, you are helping. It's just, I mean, I could see both sides of this. I understand there's reason to be optimistic and encouraged, but there are also reasons to be sad and angry. And now to add the Padres to my list of teams that I hate with the fire of a thousand suns, just for the hell of it.
The only Padres fan I know, I texted him to let him know that Blake Snell can eat shit. And he said, "You'll get no pushback from me on that. I actually don't like Blake Snell."
Thank God. At least we're not alone.
Well, now that I've built you up with all these potential positivities that could help the Phillies out in the wake of
Bryce Harper's
injury,
you're going to bring me right down?
Now I'm going to wreck that. I'm going to just rip that all away. Let's just start with Freddie Freeman, actually. This is ancillary to what we're actually going to talk about. We're going to talk about the Braves, how the Phillies are going to face the Braves for three games at home starting today. It's going to be a big series, I guess, is the nice way to put it here. You sent me a tweet from Buster Olney earlier today. Before this series, the Braves had been playing the Dodgers. That was obviously a marquee series for the league. That's two of the best teams in the NL. That's a very potential playoff series, and it got played up in a big way, and rightfully so. The Braves, as we know, stayed in lockstep with the Phillies throughout their successful run. So the Phillies were able to make shockingly little progress in the NL East. But the Braves and Dodgers played a series in Atlanta. And this was obviously a big thing narratively because it meant Freddie Freeman, who left the Braves in free agency and went to the Dodgers after wanting, apparently very desperately, to stay in Atlanta with the Braves, the only team he's played for in his career. And it was very emotional. You know, we saw him come in like tears and do a press conference, which really surprised me. Didn't expect that. That's probably the most emotional I've ever seen a player who's not retiring be in a press conference. And someone at the end of that series, like, took a picture, just screen capped a shot of Freddie Freeman sitting on the bench, just like not looking excited. And it was a Braves fan. And they were like, "Wow, looks like he's really enjoying his time in LA." And Chris and I were like making fun of him yesterday for like, obviously, like, "Oh yeah, I'm sure he's like real fucking miserable, like getting paid, playing for an NL contender, you know, doing well. Oh gosh, yeah, that's, I'm sure he's absolutely miserable." But I gotta say, maybe I was wrong to make fun of those people, because according to Buster Olney this morning, he has sources that say Freddie Freeman, who has told friends he's angry with how his free agent negotiations played out, is changing representation away from Excel. He is currently listed as being self-represented. Now, I don't know. It doesn't specify when he told those friends that he's angry. It also, the way this is phrased, kind of sounds like he's told friends he's currently angry with how his free agent negotiations played out. I don't think that's the case. Like, "I'm still mad at you, but I'm just letting you know that I'm changing representation." No, the point is that this came out now because I think you're kind of meant to think, oh, he played this series in Atlanta and he was reminded of how things could have been. And he just got so upset that he fired his agent. This is the most, if this is accurate to how it's being portrayed, God only knows. But if it is, this is like the most regret I've ever seen, easily. I've ever seen a player openly express about leaving one team and going to another. And it's not like he went to like the A's, you know, like he went to another rich, big market, bigger than probably even the Braves market, contending team in the National League. I mean, he is like in his feelings about this.
Yes. He is. I'm sorry. I was considering the future of with a very sad Freddie Freeman in the National League. I am really I want to be like neener neener to him, but it really seems terrible that he's so upset, you know? Like, you fire your representation. Like, he got a great deal with the Dodgers. They were happy to pay him, but he clearly feels like everything is fucked up now. Like, I do kind of feel bad for him because he seems to be at least a semi-genuine dude who really loved where he played. And I'm sure he felt the Braves spit directly in his face when they decided they weren't going to get back together, and they immediately signed a first baseman to a huge contract. Like, that, I mean, he probably hadn't thought about it too much until he actually went back to Atlanta and realized, this is no longer my home. This ballpark is no longer my home ballpark. These guys are no longer my teammates. Because he'd been away from them long enough that it could have faded from his mind, you know? Distance kind of helps in the healing process, but he came back and was obviously totally miserable.
I mean, the Dodgers have been in, like, first place all season, too. Again, it's not like he went somewhere where he needs to regret, like, oh, I had a good situation there. But, like, I think personally, he just had a really good situation there. And I do think the Braves are mostly to blame for that. And, you know, let it be said as well that all these fans are like, oh, Freddie Freeman's miserable there because he had it so good here. Haha, aren't we, like, just the best fan base and the best team? Braves fans let him go with shocking ease and animosity. Like, that really surprised me how much they were like, oh, okay, bye, Freddie. We're all about Matt Olson now. I'm like, that guy just won you a World Series title. Yes. And you're just like, eh, eh. It's like they were so eager to show you they weren't hurt. They, like, overplayed how not hurt they were.
Yeah. Well, and you can see how Braves fans feel in general and about this situation specifically. Because I saw a handful of tweets that were like, well, now, you know, are the Braves, is this enough for the Braves to replace the Giants as the Dodgers' main rival? And I laughed so hard I fell out of my chair. Like, that's a type of fan insecurity and a desire to, and like an unconscious desire to have a connection with the player that you lost, just mashed together in one simple phrase.
Who are the Braves' main rival?
Us.
Is it the Phillies? Is we just saying that because NL East, you're supposed to say, oh, well, they're all rivals in the same division. But, like, that's not true all the time.
No. It's us or the Mets. In the last few years, I don't know if either of them have put up a convincing fight. I mean, this year are good. But, you know, the previous to that, they were less good. So,
right.
I mean, they have rivals in that we play them,
right? And I mean, yeah, they don't have a geographic rival. I think when they like try on occasion to be like, oh, Marlins are close to the Marlins, you guys kind of like right, and then it just, you know, that never obviously works out because nobody cares. That is funny to think, oh, have they supplanted the Giants as the Dodgers' main rival? Like, that's one of those rivalries. This is never gonna happen. You will never supplant Giants.
That rivalry has lasted longer than some teams have been in the NL East. That is a feud that's lasted longer than, you know, some 20 years before team, you know, before the Marlins were in the NL East, before the Nats were in the NL East. Like, it's completely silly to say something like that, especially since the Dodgers are across the country and you play them twice a year. It was just such a sad, sad tweet. I'm just like, no, they're not your rivals. They have a real rival. Your rivals are us. And wanting to be their rival won't make it any easier that Freddie Freeman is no longer there and clearly wants to come back.
Yeah. And I just, it really stands out to me because I think to a certain extent, players are, public relations wise, taught not to be humans, you know, not to show a lot of humanity. And like, I totally get that. And you saw a lot of Freddie Freeman's humanity. Again, I can't say I super feel bad for him. I don't. But like, that was just interesting to see. and that Buster Olney is now framing this like it's a result of the weekend when, you know, it might not be, but, you know, it's being framed that way. That's just, that's pretty crazy. Yeah, that's, and that for it to all be happening out in the open like that, I mean, that says a lot about your organization, both in making it appealing to a superstar player and also how you treated that superstar player on his way out. Like, that's all shit. Anyway, that's the team the Phillies will be playing for the next three games in Citizens Bank Park. The Atlanta Braves. They actually play 10 of their next games against the Braves and the Cardinals. No. The Braves have lost Ozzie Albies. He's among the hurt stars in the National League right now. Ronald Acuna Jr. has been spotty this year as well. Yet, like I said, they were in lockstep with the Phillies' hot streak and prevented them from gaining any ground by winning 14 in a row. They currently have the highest batting average in the National League at 270. And they have an 838 team OPS, while their BABIP is sitting around right around 300. So if I understand that stat correctly, that means this is their factory default setting.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Crap!
Yeah, they're like a legitimately good team. That, like, just like last year, if you lose one amazing star, the team does not flail around like a goldfish that's been thrown out of its little tank.
Yeah, I don't get it. I thought that's all you could do, but no, the Braves. No. they undergo hardship and they seem to just get better. I don't understand.
Yeah, they have, and we're playing not just them, but the Cardinals, who continue to be that team that will never go away, no matter how many stars they've lost or gained. They will always be just right there taunting the Phillies with their very existence. They're going to be on national television playing them this weekend. And I am playing the Cardinals this weekend, and I am not looking forward to it, just by history.
I don't have nearly as much on the Cardinals right now as I do on the Braves.
Oh, but
I'll just throw in the main thing with the Cardinals right now is that they're hurt. They're Adam Wainwright, Yadier Molina, Harrison Bader, Corey Dickerson, Jordan Hicks, Tyler O'Neill, Jack Flaherty. And because of a rule where you can't out a player as COVID positive, either TJ McFarland or Hennessy Cabrera have tested positive. Of course, Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado are fine. The Cardinals have been playing about 500 ball this month, but yeah, they're becoming a team that's reputationally just like they're all hurt, but they're, you know, hey, they're still, what, 8 games over 500? Like, they're still playing ball. They're still a team you don't want to have to play when you want to cruise through some wins, because they're going to make it more difficult to do so. But Phillies get to look forward to their Cardinals series. First, they got to get through the Braves, who, you know, I just shared some alarming statistics. The Braves, I have a few more. The Braves have generated slightly fewer wins above replacement than only the scorching hot Blue Jays and Yankees and nobody else. They don't strike out a lot. They walk an average amount. And they also have the highest team on base percentage in the National League as well at 332. Though there are like 6 American League teams ahead of them. So they're not that great. Yeah. They aren't driving the ball very well in the last month, landing in the bottom 5 among teams in line drive percentage. But they're also not hitting into a ton of ground balls either. No, the Braves have been living off the fly ball, which makes up 42% of their batted balls. In the last month, 17.4% of which have become home runs in the month of June. And that number is also, you guessed it, Liz, you want to finish this?
No.
The highest in the National League.
Yep, of course it is.
Do you feel fully torn down now that I have now that I've laid this all out for you? I mean, hey, the Phillies have also had some. I ran through Philly's stats a couple episodes ago for the month of June, and you know they still do have two guys in the top 5 of NL slugging percentages for the month of June. One of them is Bryce Harper, of course, who will soon slip out of the top 5, and his spot will be overtaken by Dansby Swanson of the Atlanta Braves, who is just waiting behind him, slugging .630 with a .1062 OPS for the month of June. Swanson is a candidate for the NL Player of the Month, despite Kyle Schwarber's insanity, having generated 3.6 wins above replacement this month when he hit his 13th home run of the year 3 days ago. Braves beat writer Justin Toscano said about Dansby Swanson, he might be playing the best baseball of his big league career. Liz, how many games of this series are the Phillies going to win? Really, when you think about it, they don't have to sweep, which is good because they probably won't. But all they got to do is win two baseball games without Bryce Harper. That's all, I think about this in the short term, I guess. Maybe that's why I've been living so healthily. I'm just like, they just got to win tonight and then they will. And then, you know, it just feels like you have a 50-50 shot. You're not thinking about like, oh, they got to survive the blah, blah. It's like, no, they just got to get through tonight. And in the Braves series, to win it, they just got to win two games at home. You know, they've struggled at home this year, but no, they're at home. You know, it's home. It's Citizens Bank Park. You know, the fans will be there, ready to rally. They've got the momentum still. Like, they've still got, they're 18-6 in June. It's still a good month. You know, they can they win this series? And before you answer, keep in mind, I have more Brave statistics to read after this, but go ahead.
So how many games they can win?
Yeah. Of this series.
Of this series. Is it three games?
It
is. This one four. Okay. Because you said 10 games against the Cardinals, and like one of these has to be a four-game series, right? And I wasn't sure which one. Honestly, I say they win one. I want to be more optimistic, but now I'm back in show me mode. I'm sorry. That's my default.
You're already back in show me mode?
Bryce Harper will not play for two entire months.
Ah, yeah, but they haven't done the thing. They haven't failed yet, I guess is my point.
I am anticipating their failure. That's what I'm
But they're
I'm
18
doing.
And 6 in June with Bryce Harper. But still!
Don't do this to me. I know you want to stay happy, and I respect you for it, but don't look me in the face and tell me these things. Like, I regret that I have to go back into that mode, but this team without Bryce Harper is the way it currently is now, I don't believe could seriously compete with the Braves to win two out of three games. At this point, considering how strong the Braves are, even with Ozzie Albies out, I'm just praying they don't get swept, because at least winning one game will add a little bit, will soften a little bit the blow for both, hopefully the team, and at least for some of the fans, that they didn't come out and immediately get swept by the Braves after we find out that Harper's going to be out for 2 months. So, I mean, that's really what I'm hoping for. A one win out of three that won't crush everyone for good. We have the Cardinal series for that.
Well, considering, like I said, they're playing these more competitive teams for 10 out of their next 13 games. The four games you were talking about, they go to St. Louis for four.
Okay.
At the end, and they play the Nationals in between, which, you know, you hope is a good chance to pick up some wins pretty easily in between these Braves and Cardinals series. But, you know, you never know. They took care of business against the Nationals last time, almost for five games in a row. So that's, again, I think that's what I'm saying. Like, show me. But again, you're right. It's a different team without Bryce Harper.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I am sorry.
No, you're right. You're right. And I'm saying, what I'm asking is, so, you know, they've got this 13 game stretch. Let's just compartmentalize it to that. I mean, if this goes like even a little poorly, are they kind of done? Like, is that how precarious life is for the Phillies right now?
I mean, I don't. Oh,
I know mathematically, no, but like if they drop 10 of 13, then like,
oh my God, if they drop 10 of 13, that's a lot to come back from. That is a lot to come back from. You know, like remember when the Braves had that giant win streak and the Phillies managed to compete for that long? Like it would be this whole streak would be the equivalent of them just completely shitting the bed. Like that's a lot of games to make back up. And they'll just get further and further away from the Braves. Like, they need to be in at least a decent position when Harper comes back to give them a chance to get to the wild card. And that, I don't know how that will happen. I can hope that it will. But if they lose 10 of the next 13, my outlook on that goes from hopeful to when does football start?
What is the most amount of games they could lose in the next 13 games without you considering their season being over?
It's 13 games. I want to say six. Is that too much?
I was like, 8-5 would be a success.
Yeah.
I feel like if they were to do that. So it would have to be, yeah. I mean, like you'd expect, somewhere right down the middle, but not quite a winning record. So, okay, but you're saying they just have to finish with a winning record in this stretch of 13 games for you to consider that they're still a potential contender without Bryce Harper.
Yeah. I mean, we all just have to wait and see and hope things go well. Like, you were right. This is a different team since Joe Girardi was fired. This is a very different team. I mean, they talk with the media differently. You can see them act differently in the dugout. They're different on the field. It's just like we said in The Rookie. It's just like we saw in The Rookie. A team of unengaged schlubs will find teenagers will pull together once they have a reason to. And, you know, they were given the Phillies were given a reason to. And now they sort of have to weather this very annoying hardship. And we'll just have to wait and see if they're strong enough.
Well, we don't have to wait and see to find out more about the Braves, because here's some more about the Braves.
What is wrong with you?
Liz, have you heard of this Michael Harris III?
I want to say yes, but I'd be lying.
I'm sorry, the second.
Michael, oh, him. Harris. Him. Also no.
Michael Harris II. Rookie sensation for the Braves. Just when you thought, well, there can't possibly be any more good Braves players, well, here comes another one. Michael Harris is the youngest player in Major League Baseball currently. He has been a top 10 player in FWAR in all of baseball since he debuted on May 28th, exactly 1 month ago today. He also plays tremendous defense and has been tracking everything down in center. And that's just what we needed. The Braves having a rookie sensation enter the picture. He is hitting .356. With a .961 OPS in the month of June. The Braves just finished playing the Dodgers, and Dave Roberts said, according to The Athletic, they can pitch, they can catch. That Harris kid out there in center field, he's a game changer out there. They have some slugging. They have a lot of guys that play the game the right way. It's just fun. It's just fun playing against those guys. I think fun here is he's saying, you know, for people to watch, and it's like baseball, but you know, I would imagine if you're trying to win, it's not super fun to play the Braves, because every time an Ozzie Albies goes down, there's a Michael Harris waiting to take his place. Austin Riley and Adam Duvall are both slugging over .500 this month with 6 home runs each. Actually, they each have 4 doubles, 1 triple, and 6 home runs. They both have exactly that amount in all those categories. They have 29 combined RBI. 22 extra base hits. Just the two of them. And as a whole, nobody's hitting the ball harder than the Braves, who've hit 39% of their batted balls hard, according to Fangraphs, 7 points more frequently than the Dodgers, who are in second in this statistic in the National League at 32%. Liz, do times like this remind you that the Phillies do not have a top prospect generator to just put new talent onto their major league roster? Today, there was a Matt Gelb article in the comments. Somebody was like, hey, you know, who else from the farm system can they bring up to like help in this situation? And Gelb replied and was like, Rafael Marchand will probably be with them in Toronto, but shrug.
Yes, this does remind me a lot that the Phillies don't have anything really to do. I mean, they've got some good pitching, but they're out of position players really that you would think about bringing up or even ready or good enough. So, I mean, I just can't help but think of the Dodgers. I mean, the Braves as our version of the Dodgers, because one goes down and another one pops right up. They let their big name, very talented first baseman go, and they immediately signed another guy who does well. And it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare because this is not what any of us wanted. And we at least wanted the Phillies to be competitive, which they have been in the month of June. But the idea of facing them so much for the rest of the season is really not good.
Yeah,
does not bring
Dodgers,
me joy.
Playing the Dodgers of the East. Oh, cool. We don't have to play Freddie Freeman anymore. I'd rather play Freddie Freeman for 19 more games than the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, at least Freeman's sad.
Yeah. At least he goes home every night and screams into a pillow. Like, God. Hey, you know, I will say, as far as young Phillies players who can contribute, Matt Winkelmann threw some Vierling stats out this morning. Mm-hmm. Matt Vierling has been a key role player for this team. He has. I'm not saying that sarcastically. He made a tremendous diving catch to keep the Phillies from losing the lead in the fourth game of the Padres series. He gets a little poke now and again that really helps out. Obviously, he had that memorable game with Alec Bohm against Josh Hader a couple weeks ago. And Winkelmann threw out there that after Vierling had started 0-for-15, he's now slashing .286, .337 with a .442 slugging percentage. And after coming back from AAA, he's hit .311 with a .873 OPS. And versus left-handed hitters, he's almost hitting .300 as well. So, yeah, Winkelmann says his ground balls are going down and his fly balls and line drives are on the up and up. So it's almost like getting more play allows guys to get more comfortable and therefore they become more productive offensively. But we don't have to live there anymore. We don't have to.
Weird.
I know it's the same month that Joe Girardi was fired. I keep pointing this out to people. He was fired this month.
It feels like forever ago. It feels like a different season.
Insane. Just insane. Like, Joe Girardi managed a Phillies game this month. That's wild.
This month?
That's
June
that's
has been
wild.
The longest month of the year somehow.
Which is great. It's a wonderful month to be the longest one.
I mean, love June.
Especially when the Phillies have won 18 of 24 games, you know?
Yes.
And one of those wins belongs to Joe Girardi. That's amazing to me. Back to the Braves real quick. Hey, we haven't talked about the pitching. Their team ERA is 3.21. They have 40 more strikeouts than any other National League pitching staff this month. That same staff has a 4.71 win probability added. And behind them in the National League is, of course, the Dodgers with only 1.66 in that span. They're throwing curveballs at a 15.1% clip, third most in the league. With cut fastballs making up the other part of their diet. Max Fried is leading the rotation. The rest of the starters are touchable, but the bullpen is just a wall. Jesse Chavez, Colin McHugh, Dylan Lee, the three of them alone have combined to allow only 3 earned runs in 30 and two-thirds innings. Chavez alone hasn't allowed an earned run in 11 and a third.
Oh, my God.
But hey, look, the Phillies had their bullpen recorded 34 consecutive outs until recently. I think it was in their last game that streak got broken. And then they still recorded 6 1/3 scoreless innings. So, like I said, I'll take any bullpen success I can get. And after a week, you know, with a bullpen, it can feel so short term and short lived that like a week feels like you can start saying, OK, well, the bullpen's been good, you know, for a week. That's great. Let's build off that. But that being said, you know, as is every case of the year, every time the Phillies find some success, the Braves just have a little better success.
God, like you look at them, you're like, this is what happens when a rebuild goes right. Everything clicks at one point, everything clicks, and then they're just going, and there's just no stopping them.
Well, let's just finish up here with some tidbits. I mean, in general, I don't think it's out of this world that the Phillies win 2 of 3 against the Braves. But like you said, whether you want to look at what the Phillies have been able to accomplish recently and talk about momentum and say this is a different team, I think that's fair. But I do think this is a different team from that team that was also different without Bryce Harper. And if you want to hang your head and be really discouraged by this, or if you don't want to be, but it's still happening anyway, also makes total sense. It's just, you know, we don't know yet. I think after this game tonight, will a lot of people's acceptance of what it's going to look like without Bryce Harper is going to, it's just going to happen. I think people's moods about what the Phillies are going to be able to accomplish over the next few weeks is really going to be set by this game tonight and by this series against the Braves. If they come out and they just look lifeless and they're kicking the ball around and they're just standing there at the plate, then yeah, real quick, people are going to remember what it was like to watch that team real quick. This month hasn't been so good that it erased the last two and then, you know, the three seasons prior to them. But hopefully things are changed enough and Dave Dombrowski is going to be able to make some moves or at least move some pieces around that help fill the gap that Bryce Harper's absence is going to have in the lineup. So, just some real quick tidbits before we close up here. Liz, Oscar Mercado, he's going to be active for the Phillies tonight. He will apparently be wearing number 35, the first player since Cole Hamels to wear that number. Does this make you furious?
No, it makes me a little sad. it makes me a little sad because Hamels, I think, is still the last remaining player in baseball from the Phillies 2008 team. I think that's correct.
Is he still like a free agent, just technically waiting around?
I mean, no, he was injured. I mean, he technically hasn't retired yet, but I did tweet something, I think maybe earlier this month at one point, about him, you know, him being the last player, that there are no more players from that World Series team in baseball. I mean, and Hamels had been the last for a while.
When you Google Cole Hamels, the first pictures of him are him wearing a Braves hat and shirt. That's pretty cool, right? I bet Ryan Howard's the same because he went there for a minute as well.
I hate everything. I mean, it doesn't make me furious. It makes me just a little sad because it is the official closing of, I mean, that chapter's been closed forever, but, you know, Hamels is gone. Hamels is gone. He's been gone. And that time is over. There's no more memories for us to squeeze out of it, you know, from seeing a dude that we once loved play somewhere and find a little bit of success. So that's what's sad about it.
A report surfaced saying that several talent evaluators predict that Trey Turner, who is from the state of Florida, will return east and sign with the Phillies.
What?
How about that, Liz? Now, I do have to add a caveat. This report was put out there by Bob Nightingale. But it is out there. And, you know, I know for a fact Chris Jones was willing to put aside the "but Bob Nightingale is wrong about everything because he's bad at his job" thing and accept that, hey, this is sure, I'll consider this legitimate because I like it. do you immediately reject this because it's Bob Nightingale reporting? Do you think, I mean, what are several talent evaluators? You and I are talent evaluators, technically. I mean, what the hell is that?
Let's just say things to see if people listen. Let's call ourselves talent evaluators. I can't, Bob is, I like this particular rumor just as you do, but... And it feels terrible to discount Bob. It's less about him. Sometimes it's less about him being wrong all the time than it is about him making stupid mistakes. And that's a lot of where larger part of his reputation comes from. But he has been majorly wrong, hugely embarrassingly, massively wrong. So I don't know really what to think. At this point, I'm going to choose to believe it because Bob isn't incompetent. This is something he probably heard, whether or not it was from someone who actually knows what they're talking about. You know, I get the impression that Bob really does have some good sources. Well, guys like John Heyman, who was recently, after years without a steady gig, was recently hired at the New York Post.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so he's
going to do real well there. Yeah, and I don't mean that sarcastically, but I do mean it as an insult.
Oh, yeah, he's already doing well, you know, but he has a limited set of sources, and when he's wrong, it's hilarious and embarrassing. Nightingale, at least, he is a respected member of the press, and there's at least that. A lot of other writers really do respect him, despite... the public facing thing, and I don't believe that's true of John Heyman. I don't.
It was hilarious to see them defend him. I think after the Bauer to the Mets thing blew up in his face and everybody got really mad at him.
Yeah.
Because, like, yeah, like, you were dead wrong about a big, big story. And the people's defense, hey, you know, he got it wrong. He reported it. He's blah, blah, blah. And someone's like, yeah, dude, if anybody outside of your little circle reported this, you would have eaten their fucking lunch.
Oh,
like,
God, yeah.
Go to hell. Just get out of here with that shit. So I'm entertained by it. You know,
be entertained.
I think it is totally fair to say any report that comes from Bob Nightingale is like, yeah, like that is completely fair at this point that you can't escape that. As far as Trey Turner becoming a Philly, yes, no, hooray, boo.
How is he doing? God, he's another dude on the Dodgers. They have an endless pile of money that they don't care about spending. What is that like?
And I'm just like, what is the Phillies infield right now? Hoskins is the first baseman. Outside of that,
question mark?
I mean, like, we know who typically plays out there, but like what position and what day kind of, you know, it seems to change. You know, we saw Matt Vierling playing second base not too long ago, and he did very well.
God, Trey Again, Turner very, is very hitting well. Like 313 this year. Yes, I want him. I definitely want him on
I'll
the
take
Phillies.
That.
I want to take him.
I was going
to
say.
He also plays
let's skip to the end.
He plays three positions, shortstop, second baseman, and center fielder, which are all things the Phillies need help with.
Yeah, I would say on its surface, yes, I would like the 28-year-old to come play and have a full-time job in the Phillies infield. Yes, absolutely, please. I would like that. And I don't care how much it costs. I'm back to not giving a shit about that. And real quick, as we finish up, yesterday was the 15th anniversary of two things. Ryan Howard being the fastest to 100 home runs in Major League Baseball, reaching the milestone in 325 games, which was 60 faster than Ralph Kiner behind him. And his 100th blast was 505 feet
Ooh.
Long. The other thing yesterday was the anniversary of was the 12th anniversary of Jamie Moyer allowing the most home runs ever. Weirdly enough, 506 home runs on his last one being hit by Vernon Wells.
Oh, Jamie Moyer.
Also in Philly's milestones, today is the 18th anniversary of David Bell hitting for the cycle, something that for some reason we all just remember. So well. It's also the 53rd anniversary of something no one remembers, but I think is way cooler than hitting for the cycle. Phillies outfielder Wally Post became the first player to record two outfield assists in an inning in 1959 today. This is just good vibes time on the Phillies calendar, Liz, and perhaps they can mine that for positive energy. Is that how it works? I say definitely.
Seance.
So if you weren't convinced...
Seance.
If I didn't get you with all that positivity at the top, maybe all, you know, this just being a good time of year to be a Philly, except for the Jamie Moyer thing, allowing all the home runs, just skipping over that. But the rest of it is like pretty good vibes for the Phillies this time of year. So who knows? Maybe some combination of chaos will allow the Phillies to continue to be good despite losing their best player and now having to play one of the best teams in the National League for three games. We'll see what happens. That'll do it for this episode of Continued Success. As always, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and download all your favorite podcasts that are part of the Good Fight podcast family, including Hit and Season with John Stolness and The Dirty Inning with myself and Dr. Trevor Strunk. Head on over to the Patreon at patreon.com/hit and season for access to all kinds of bonus Phillies content for $5 a month, including Absolutely Hammered with myself and Chris Jones. Dirty Inning supplemental content. We have new stuff up there about in response to Bryce Harper injuring his thumb. Trev and I went back and looked at other key Phillies who hurt their thumbs just when you didn't want them to in various other seasons. Happened a lot more than you think. It's a devastating injury. And Liz and I have a new movie review up at the Patreon as well. We talked about The Rookie, as I mentioned earlier in this episode. That was a lot of fun. So yeah, again, for $5 a month, you get access to all kinds of bonus content. If you just can't get enough, head on over there and give us your money. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time on Continued Success.